streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin Cowherd. Colin's back on Monday from Italy, where eventually we'll have a conclusion to Celtics-Bucks, Suns-Mavericks, Warriors-Grizz, and we already have one team moving on, and that's where we'll begin. We got a great show with you. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Fox Sports Radio, foxsportsradio.com, wherever you're listening. Thanks so much for making this part of your day, as Colin likes to say. We'll bask in the glory of NFL schedule release Thursday, which now Friday gives us a bunch of radio fodder to discuss. Wait to hear what Jimmy Butler had to say on his way into the locker room through my favorite name for any place in any arena is the vomitorium. Why did they call it the vomitorium? I'm sure it has something to do with Rome and people vomiting. But that's that little walkway area where players go between the court and the locker room, that little tunnel. That's the vomitorium, the vomitorium. Randy Mueller is going to join us later on the show. He's former NFL GM with the Dolphins and the Saints. We'll get his thoughts on Baker, on the schedule, on, did you see who the Broncos kind of open up with? The Seahawks got a lot to get to. And happy National Apple Pie Day today. Apple Pie Day today. Just let that sink in for a second. There is something very American about apple pie. On the other hand, apple pie is so much better a la mode, right? Throw a little ice cream on the top. I mean, I guess ice cream, kind of like the peanut butter of desserts. It makes everything so much better. All right, let's dig into last night. We'll get to Luka, and careful who you trifle with. But let's talk Sixers. We all like obits. We all like looking at dumpster fires, and that was one of them. And the pretty obvious guy to point to has to be James Harden, right? It just has to be. James Harden's been an MVP of the league. He's been a dominant player, and though he is not what he used to be, and he's now finally coming under the criticism of some on his own team, some who have coached him or worked with him, the idea of going down without firing every shot in the barrel, right? Without unloading the clip, which of course is an analogy. Please don't. Oh, golly, gun reference. Come on, man. This is sports. He took two shots in the second half. He didn't make any of them. His defense, his rebounding was below the normal level of inactivity for James Harden. And I don't know how you react when you feel like something could be coming to an end, especially a season. Right? Desperation, in many ways, should be a great motivation. Right? If you really want something, if you truly desire something, you're going to do anything it takes, move any mountain to make it happen. Right? That is, in fact, how it works. Or at least that's how it tends to work. Like Tyrese Maxey last night, he's not a great player, but at least you saw the effort there of him trying to make it happen. Harden felt like a dog just chewing on a bone. I'm good. And then Joel Embiid, who, like, one of the great thing about Joel Embiid is he didn't grow up here. So he doesn't have necessarily the predetermined bias to have to say the right thing. Right? He wasn't brought up in the AAU culture. He doesn't, there's a level of I don't give a you know what that is incredibly admirable. It really is. You know, it's interesting. One of my daughters is getting a chance to compete actually in Israel this summer. And when she posts about it, she sounds like somebody who has been trained on what to say and how to say it, right? And she hasn't. I haven't had one discussion about it. Like, I just want to say I'm so thankful to my trainer, to everyone who's helped me. This is an incredible honor. Like, it is, like, from the corporate, this is how you release a statement 101. Nobody's told her, but she grows up in our culture, and that's, quote-unquote, how it's done. And B doesn't embody that, right? There's some bad to it, but there's some great to it as well. Here's Embiid after the game on Harden.
We got him. Everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, yeah, at times, you know, could have been, as all of us, could have been more aggressive. All of us, whether it's Tyrese or Tobias or, you know, guys coming off the bench.
So he did couch it and say, like, look, he wasn't aggressive, but we all could have been more aggressive, which is smart and it's accurate. Okay. So he's not completely throwing him under the bus. But I want you to compound the fact that yesterday on ESPN, Amari Stoudemire, who worked with the Nets when James Harden was in camp, he was a player development assistant, right? Which means, what are you doing? You're getting with guys, you're getting them in the gym, you're working them out. And he, in different instances, two different instances, in one salvo is like, that dude, he's not working. He didn't work, didn't come in shape. So, this is Amari Stoudemire on TV, right? Remember, this is not generally the case that NBA players or former NBA players talk about the work ethic of a star player, but this was Amari.
I can't commit to that. If I'm the owner of the Sixers, I cannot commit to giving him a max deal. I just don't see the dedication that I would need to see from my top 75 player. You know, you have to be able to have a certain level of determination and focus on being the best player you can possibly be, and also be there for your teammates when they need you the most. And if he's not capable of doing that, and as a max player, I'm not going to be willing to now give you a max contract if you're not showing me that you can handle the situation.
The two things that you don't want to be talked to me. There's, we all have flaws. There are no flawless people, right? Everybody has a flaw. You know, Jordan, Kobe, they had plenty of flaws. Hard to play with, hard to deal with sometimes. Neither of them really went left particularly well, to be totally honest, right? Jordan's jump shot was kind of a line drive. Obviously, later on in his career, at times he became a very good three-point shooter, but it was kind of a line drive. Like, nobody was perfect. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect players. But if you're missing, if you're missing a couple of things, or if people question your work ethic, if people question your competitiveness, if people call you a quitter, those are things which are, they're just non-starters for me, I think for most people, right? Nobody wants a, but he quit on the Rockets, quit on the Rockets. He quit on the Nets, and last night he quit on the Sixers. You have that quitting gene. Some people have the quitting gene, some do not. And I know you could sit here and go like, listen, Kobe didn't shoot when they're playing the Suns in the playoffs, and to make a point, like, okay. But that was also the only moment you could say that of Kobe Bryant's career. I would not excuse it, right? I didn't excuse it at the time. I don't excuse it now. On the other hand, you can kind of go back through a million other things. And again, Kobe was selfish. Kobe took bad shots. Like, he could go a whole game and not take a good shot. Kobe could be really tough to deal with. He could be confrontational. And yeah, there was a time, in which he's like, I ain't shooting. And it was bad. But that's the only time in his career you could say that. And you could never say about Kobe Bryant that he wasn't prepared, that he wasn't committed, that he didn't have the work ethic. Amari Stoudemire calling out his work ethic? Compound it with the three different teams that he's quit on? And then you wonder, okay, what happens with Doc Rivers? And it's completely fair to say that team last night looked checked out. 1-2-3 Cancun could have been every time they brought it in the huddle. But it's also fair to point out that Doc Rivers did a hell of a job with that team when they were devoid of, was it $33 million in salary when Simmons wouldn't play for him? But the defensiveness of Doc Rivers, which we've seen over the past couple of weeks, like Doc Rivers... Coaches usually don't come back at the media. They don't usually stand up for themselves this way, especially Doc, who's a guy who's generally treated with fairly kid gloves. And some of this is Philadelphia, right? Philadelphia just wears people out. It does, especially when you're not a Philadelphia guy. Here's Doc Rivers when he was asked about his job security.
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job, and if you don't, then you should write it, because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. And again, this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
The results-based business. And that's
it is, but you don't do it every year. Every time you're wrong, should you lose your job? No. So it's the same thing, all right? But listen, if you believe that, then go with it. I know what I did this year, and I feel very good about that. But again, if you believe that, Howard, then you just run with it.
Yeah, I think he's talking to Howard Beck, who, of course, is a staple of Philadelphia media. I think it's completely fair to point out the collapses, to point out how disinterested some of those guys look, the lack of fight, the lack of ability to communicate and get James Harden competing last night. Like, that is coaching. It's also fair to point out that they hired Daryl Morey, and I'm sure that James Harden last night, I don't want to play for this guy, right? And now he has a player option, or they can extend him, and it feels like Doc Rivers is saying, you know what? You can have him. You can have it. I'm good. You know? I can go into TV, or I can go coach the Lakers. That you don't get that level of defensiveness and combativeness. And that's a nice, gentle amount of combativeness, but that's also Doc. You don't get that unless there's another vine as you're swinging through the jungle. There's another bus on the way that you can catch. You know there's another gig out there, or just the gig that you have, you're like, eh. The Sixers are an abject disaster, despite the fact they have some amazing talent on the team. And when you can trace James Harden's career, when you saw James Harden's performance, when you feel the negative energy from a coach who had to be frustrated, one, with the acquisition on some level, and two, with the player that he had, and three, with the performances that he had. And then you have his co-star saying he's not that guy anymore. A former coach and former star player saying doesn't have the work ethic or the drive. I think we know the root of the issues. The only question is, what do the Sixers do to try and fix it? Kyrie Irving is not having a great week, and he hasn't played a game. We'll get into that. Upcoming next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Doug Gottlieb for calling. This is The Herd, Fox Sports Radio, iHeart Radio app. Do you guys see this news? Is that Kyrie Irving, because of the uncertainty of his basketball future, Nike unlikely to extend Kyrie Irving's signature shoe deal beyond next season. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Obviously, Kobe and the Mamba, and now they had the Mambacita shoes, which are the Kobe's kind of sort of redesigned, them being back in the fold. Those were, I believe, the most popular Nikes in the basketball world. Those were kind of replaced by the Kyries. But this is one of those cause and effect sort of deals. I don't think it has to do with the vaccine or with the flat earthing. I think this is, you go back to last offseason when the new Kyries were released and he on social media called them trash. Like, I don't know what Nike's left to do. I was like, look, we sell a ton of your shoes. You make a ton of money on it. And this is how the, however it was released and done, I'm sure it's by the book in terms of their agreement. But that's a rough week for Kyrie Irving. When you're watching teams play that I'm sure you think you're better than, when you've had your general manager come out and say, are you committed to him long term? Well, we haven't discussed that, but we want guys that are committed, available, play for each other. Like, there's a lot of anti, and now you might lose your Nike deal. It's not a good week. Mark Medina has covered the NBA for years. He works for NBA Media. He's the Fox Sports Radio playoff reporter. What's your sense of what happened to James Harden in the second half last night?
James Harden showed what he normally has been in the playoffs in the last few years. He disappeared, and it was really surprising. I don't want to say that was surprising, but when you looked at the first half, I thought James Harden played really well. He made shots. He was passing the ball. And in the second half, he looked completely disengaged. And, you know, his post-game comments saying that, I was involved in the offense, I just wasn't getting the ball back, I think that's a poor cop-out and excuse. Sure, he might be passing the ball and others are shooting, but he wasn't aggressive at all. And I think, hence, Joel Embiid's pretty candid comments afterwards saying that this isn't the Houston Rockets version of James Harden. And we'll see if Daryl Morey comes to accept that as well.
Why do you think Doc was so defensive?
Well, I think that's just how Doc Rivers is as a personality. A lot of times when he's asked about coaching decisions, he gets defensive about it. I mean, look, I don't think there's any debate. DeAndre Jordan earlier in the playoffs was not a good matchup to have in the rotation, and he got defensive over that. So I think part of his fiery personality, I don't know to what extent that means his coaching with the Sixers is in jeopardy. But look, this is a team that was constructed to win a championship. And when they traded Ben Simmons, part of the reason why Daryl Morey was so adamant on holding out for a deal was he wanted to make a deal that he thought would help them win a championship. So he reunited with James Harden. I put more blame on James Harden than Doc Rivers, but there's a lot of things that Daryl Morey will have to unpack this offseason when you're looking at the coaching and James Harden, the rest of the roster. A lot of things to do starting today.
Likelihood that he's in Philadelphia next year?
James Harden?
No, Doc Rivers.
I'd say it's hard to say. I guess he will stay. I think that, you know, when they take a step back, they'll look at more of the roster issues than the coaching issues. But, you know, I think everything is on the table, obviously, because of what happened with the Sixers playoff exit. But I'm also curious if the Lakers are a factor here. You know, they've been, you know, I think very deliberative with their coaching search, partly to see how the dominoes would fall in the NBA playoffs. And I wouldn't be surprised that they start, you know, knocking on the Sixers' door and seeing if they're okay with interviewing Doc, because they see him as, an accomplished coach. He's obviously had championship experience managing personalities, knows the L.A. landscape. So it might not just be his departure being a result of a coaching dissatisfaction from the Sixers. He might have some interest elsewhere.
Let's get Mark Medina from NBA Media joining us. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Dallas behind an otherworldly performance from Luka survives, forces a game seven. And, you know, it's interesting. Here's a Phoenix team who last year, you know, there was the back down from LeBron and Andre Drummond laughing at Jay Crowder on the bench and imitating LeBron. And that seemed to be the moment, combined with Anthony Davis getting hurt, that series turned, right? And it's one of those, like, be careful who you talk trash to. Between Chris Paul and Devin Booker coming at Luka Doncic, like, it kind of feels like they rattled the wrong guy's cage a bit. I know that Luka's competitive no matter what, but that's a guy who seems to play better when you talk trash to him. What are your thoughts on watching Luka and his ability to, not single-handedly, but feeling like single-handedly, he's carrying this team?
Yeah, it's scary because it just feels like as much as Luka Doncic has been an accomplished player all year and all season, and clearly he's a generational talent, there's this feeling that he's just scratching the surface. You know, as dominant as he is, I think the new added wrinkle this season, and in particular against the Suns, is there's finally been more reliable teammates around him. I mean, when you're looking at Spencer Dinwiddie and Reggie Bullock, for example, they you know, had some poor performances earlier in the postseason, but they've been able to rally and play a lot better. And I think that also Luka has shown a lot more trust in his teammates than he did when Kristaps Porzingis was on the floor. Now, I think in Luka's case, I don't fault him for playing the way he does. I think that he is a complete player, but I think that there has to be some level of empowerment to kind of push guys and bring the best out of them. And hence, I don't know if this is a championship caliber roster, but it's certainly a roster that's much better than last year, and a roster that can, you know, legitimately eliminate the Suns in a game 7 on Sunday. But the Suns have low-hanging fruit here. I mean, Chris Paul has not been Chris Paul at all. And I think in previous seasons, a lot of that had to do with, hey, his body's breaking down. And even at 37 years old, that hasn't been a case. But he's just committing really carelessly reckless turnovers. And that's something that's very uncharacteristic of him. He might have a game here or there that happens and he immediately bounces back, but over the last four games he's averaged 4.5 turnovers. Like, that is mind-boggling to say the least. So I'd like to think that Chris course corrects that in game 7, but at the same time I thought he would have course corrected that earlier in this playoff series.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is the Herd. Okay, let's get to some of the discussion about some of the other teams. Sean Marks, without calling out Kyrie Irving, boy, it sure felt like he called out Kyrie Irving. When asked about how committed long-term they were to Kyrie, he didn't answer in terms of yes or no. But then he said, like, look, and he's, of course, blanketed with everybody. We want guys that are available. Well, that's not Kyrie, right? We want guys that play for each other. Kyrie's not seen as that guy. It feels like he wants to get back to the culture of what they had before they had Kyrie, before they had Kevin Durant. Is that your read into it?
That's my read into it 100%. And I think you made a good point earlier about how, you know, Sean Marks tried to lump Kyrie and everyone together. And maybe technically that's true, but he was asked specifically about Kyrie Irving. And even if, you know, he can hide behind technicalities of, oh, we haven't had in-depth discussions about this, he could send the GM code and just say very simply, we'd love to have Kyrie Irving in a uniform long term. And he didn't say that for a reason. I think the interesting paradox with this is I think that the Nets want to get out of the culture that's partly been to blame with Kyrie Irving, with you know, just his lack of accountability, not being always available, whether it's last season because of the vaccine mandate or even the previous season when he would just take personal time off without any forewarning. But, you know, they don't want to alienate Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, as of now, feels very strongly about wanting to be with Kyrie Irving. So if I connect all these dots here, and that I have to stress I'm just connecting these dots, but I wouldn't be surprised that there is no extension agreed upon, and then that next season is just about saying, okay, let's see if you can course correct, change behavior, lead the Nets past the first round and, you know, be in the championship picture. And if not, then we start making changes. But this Nets team has been wildly unpredictable the last year that, you know, I embrace the unpredictability ahead.
Speaking of unpredictability, you got the Lakers and all of the conflicting alliances, right? Like, you got Jeannie Buss and Kurt Rambis and then you have Pelinka, you have Clutch Sports, now Phil Jackson coming back into the mix. Like, who's really making any decisions, and what do they want to do?
Yeah, that's the thing that's really tough about the Lakers, this feeling that there always seems to be so many cooks in the kitchen. Now, Rob Pelinka, after his exit meetings, you know, made it clear he's the one that's making the final decision. So whether you want to praise him for a move or criticize him for a move he did or did not make, he took some accountability there. I think that was step one, because during the season, you know, there would be a lot of, you know, narratives perpetuated that it was Clutch Sports pulling the strings and the Lakers are just simply listening to them. And look, I'm not trying to absolve you know, their involvement in any way. Obviously, LeBron James has had a heavy role in any team he plays as far as who plays with him on that respective team. But, you know, the Lakers historically have sometimes listened to LeBron James, i.e. getting Anthony Davis, i.e. getting Russell Westbrook, and sometimes they haven't listened to him, i.e. not hiring Ty Lue as the head coach, i.e. not making a deal during last season's trade deadline. So I think moving forward, there's going to be an emphasis of them taking ownership, but that puts together a whole other can of worms, because even if Rob Pelinka is saying he's the last one making the final decision, we don't know exactly what's the influence. We know that Phil Jackson and Magic Johnson are, you know, informal advisors, and Kurt Rambis obviously has a say in basketball matters, as well as Joey and Jesse Buss, but we don't know where each person stands on certain decisions and how that influences what Rob does. I don't expect full clarity on those questions because the Lakers haven't necessarily been forthcoming with those things. But even in a general sense, there seems to be a lack of clarity on just what their basketball philosophy is beyond, hey, we have LeBron James and that gives us a chance to win a title.
Do they hold on to Russ because they want to or because they have to?
I think if they hold on to Russ, it's because they have to, because there's no market for him, really, because of his poor season. There might be some wishful thinking within the organization that with a new head coach with more than 21 games played with LeBron James and Anthony Davis like last season, that things will get better. But if I had to make an educated guess, if Russell Westbrook is still in a Lakers uniform next season, that's a big if. I think it's more out of reluctance than any want to have him. But I'm on record, and I still think so, that we're not going to see Russ in a Laker uniform, even if they're clinging to the idea that injuries and a new role, you know, contributed much more significantly to his, you know, undoing last season. I think that they're also well aware that a lot of these issues had to do with just Russ himself and his both inability and refusal to adapt his role. And I don't see that changing. That's just who Russ is. So I think that they will, whether it's negotiating a buyout or just move the goalposts and trade him for a handful of role players that can fill some positional needs, that's the route they're going to take. But again, Lakers are unpredictable, and we don't know which voices and influences will ultimately prevail with that decision, or really any major decision they have to face this offseason.
Yeah, it's fascinating. People, you know, give Russ the ball. That's what he's always done, but he can't shoot, and there's two other guys on that team you'd rather have with the basketball, and then he's just kind of in the way. So I don't, and that's not even starting with the defensive end where he wasn't engaged and has always been wildly overrated. So that one's going to be fascinating. How much concern is there in Golden State? You know, it's one thing to lose when a team's up against the wall, but they don't have Ja. They didn't play well, you know, at home going back to game four, and then game five, they get eviscerated. They get run out of Memphis. How much concern is there?
I don't think there's too much concern now. You know, Mike Brown, the acting head coach, was saying, you know, he has 100% faith in his team. The Warriors players seem pretty calm and collected after the Game 5 loss. That's not to say they're going to just brush this loss off. They're well aware of the demons that have followed them even through the dynasty years of squandering that 3-1 series lead to Cleveland in the 2016 NBA Finals. But I think the Warriors are going to close this one out in Game 6. They've been 5-0 at home at Chase Center so far in the playoffs. Historically, they've done well in elimination games during this dynasty year. And, you know, John Morant's not going to be on the team again. I know that the Grizzlies obviously won Game 5 without him. They went 20-5 without Ja during the regular season. But I think ultimately the Warriors, you know, championship experience is going to prevail in a game like this where they can still lean on guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. But, you know, they have to put in the work. They got to win the rebounding battle, be much more disciplined with the ball, and they have to get Jordan Poole going. He's been a, you know, kind of this really feel-good story for the Warriors during the playoffs. But in the last two games, he's been disappearing with more attention on him. But I think that they're going to course correct this so that they can not worry about a Game 7 in Memphis on Sunday.
Mark, great stuff. Really appreciate you joining us. The hoops has been good, but your reporting's been even better. Thank you so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, Doug, thanks for the kind words. Right back at you.
All right, it's Mark Medina. He covers the NBA for NBA Media. He's also our Fox Sports Radio NBA playoffs reporter. He'll be in San Francisco for Game 6 tonight. Let me get you to Ryan Music with Herdline News.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Good morning,
Hello,
Doug.
Hello, Ryan.
Oh,
Hello.
Doug, it's so good to be with you this morning. Lots of great NBA talk that you started the show with that we just had there with Mark Medina. So let's change gears a little bit and get into some NFL. So when healthy, Odell Beckham Jr. played a big role for the Rams on their way to winning the Super Bowl and ended up, you know, tearing his ACL in that game, but now a free agent and physically unable to perform for a majority of this upcoming season. We're all wondering where he might land. Well, OBJ took to Twitter to provide some insight, responding back and forth with some fans. When asked about the Rams and their culture, Odell responded saying, "They know where I want to be, can't just play for free." Someone else responded to that saying, "Tell them to stop lowballing you." And he said, "It's just business. It's nothing personal. I get it." I think, look, we'll see how this all plays out, but I really do think this is probably the best fit for OBJ. He's made a ton of money. If I'm him, I'll basically take whatever the Rams are offering.
I would agree. I just, you wonder about role. Look, he's had three devastating injuries, two knee injuries. He broke his leg as well. So part of it is no one knows what he's going to be like, you know? And I know, like, at that stage of, for people who don't know, I tore my ACL last summer. So now I think it's 9.5 months out, and I'm back, you know, playing old man basketball, whatever. I actually played with my AAU team last night.
How's your old man game?
You know, I feel good moving around, but it just feels so, things just feel foreign, and your knee feels different than it's ever felt. Like, I've never had an injury, so I don't really know. But I know OBJ's in that what's called the danger zone, right? I don't know if people know this. Like, when you get the graft, when you get the ACL repaired, right then, it's actually the strongest it's probably ever going to be. Like, it ain't re-tearing. But then between 2 and 3 months out, the studies show that it actually dies and then regenerates itself, and that's the danger zone. So he's not, like, running and cutting and doing. We don't know what he's going to be like. So, again, there's the you can bet on yourself, come out and work out for people, wait for somebody who really desperately needs a wide receiver, or trust that the Rams know how to use you. They have the culture that you want. They can wait and believe they're going to be in the playoffs, and you can not be rushed back to play. Or maybe you can see what Green Bay is. You know, the one issue with Green Bay would be, you know, how does your body react to playing in the cold when, you know, you haven't played in the cold a ton, and that's a different level of cold, and now you have multiple injuries. Like, does that become an issue? But, yeah, I mean, like, look, the safe play and the smart play is probably the Rams found a way to use him to probably the best of his abilities over the last 5 years, right? Since it went bad with the Giants. And with that would make me want to resign regardless of the actual number of the contract. But again, I'm not a guy who it's all, are you worried about the bottom line? Because I don't think that will be the most money he could get.
And we'll wrap it up with another NFL story here, Doug. Yesterday we had your buddy and former NFL scout, John Middlecoff, on. You guys discussed that viral video of Dolphins practice where quarterback Tua Tagovailoa was throwing a deep ball, in quotations, to Tyreek Hill that was posted on their official Twitter account. Tua, who has definitely seen his fair share of criticism over the last two seasons, was getting heat for, not a great spiral, the throw coming up a bit short, Tyreek Hill having to pull up a bit to make sure that he could catch it. Well, Hill came to his defense, talking about the video. When asked about it, he said, "Can y'all chill or nah? We're talking about practice," channeling his inner Allen Iverson. It was definitely a bad look, and this is sort of what you and Middlecoff mentioned, which is you got to have a little bit more awareness on the social media channel to know that that's not going to go over well. But at the same time, I mean, it's not going to really matter. I mean, this in the big picture, it doesn't mean a whole lot.
No, it doesn't. And this is one of those where whoever was just making the decision on with their social team to put that out there obviously doesn't know football, right? Like,
right.
That's it. You would not do that if they knew football.
It's one of those things where it's like someone takes a picture of you and you're like, okay, you know what? Just don't put that one on social media. That's just
yes.
a bad
can
angle.
Can you take that down?
Like, come on.
Can you take that down? The lighting's not good.
Yeah, can we just take another one like or something?
Yes. That's
like,
just, that's, yes. Yeah. Welcome to my life with 16-year-old daughters.
Wow. Okay.
Dad, no. No. No, 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 no.
Like, we can take a picture, just don't post it.
Yeah. That's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
You know, the cliche is it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But in the NFL, oftentimes, how you start determines where and when and how you finish. I'll explain why one team feels like they're going to have a great start to their season. Next in the Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, You can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, but they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. The Jet, Jason Terry, will join us next hour. We'll ask him about the Mavs, their performance last night, the likelihood of a Game 7 upset on the road in Phoenix. That would be tomorrow night, right? That would be tomorrow night is Game 7 with Luka leading the way. We'll get to that next hour. Plus, wait to hear what Jimmy Butler had to say walking into the locker room last night after the Heat were victorious over one of his former teams, the Philadelphia 76ers. Yesterday was schedule release Thursday in the NFL. And, look, there was a lot of interesting ones. I mean, Monday Night Football, which now there's two Monday night games. So, like, one of the things, and I heard Dan Patrick talking about this, that he didn't love about the game, and I think Nick Wright was on with them, where they're like, look, there's a great moment, but not a great game. Okay, I mean, look, there's 32 teams. Week one, you're not going to have every great matchup. So if it's the second Monday night football game, it is, you know, what do you have? The Thursday night game is Buffalo against the Rams, right? The Bills with a superstar quarterback coming off basically pitching a perfect game against the Chiefs, and how you lose that game or how they force overtime in 13 seconds. I mean, that was just a coaching debacle. Okay, but Buffalo taking on the Rams, great game. Right, so the way it works in terms of picks are, you know, NBC gets the first pick. It's got the defending champion playing at home. Right, then it's likely Fox because they have the Super Bowl this year. Right, so who did Fox pick? Green Bay, Minnesota. That one's tasty. That one is delicious, delicious. Mm. Or the Sunday night game, which is Tampa, Dallas. That's actually probably the first. That might be the first pick. I don't know. NBC, I mean, that's incredible games. And for Monday night, there's, I believe, only one Monday night game this year. It's Denver, Russell Wilson, taking on Seattle, used to be Russell Wilson. And so, like, look, we could kind of go through a bunch of reasons why it might not be a good game. I tend to believe it's very likely to be a really good game, right? You have in front of the 12th man. It's a great crowd. You would guess Seattle will play way above their level. Plus, early in the season, it's not like Russell Wilson will have complete connectivity with an offense with a coach who's never coached a game before in his life. Like, it's reasonable to think that's a close game with incredible intensity. Incredible. And to people who are like, well, they don't have a chance. Go back and look and trace these games of guys going home, and most times the guys that go home, the other team wins, even though you're better with that. It wasn't great with Tom Brady right away. Wasn't great. Now, he didn't play in New England, but wasn't great with Tom Brady right away. But take a look at Seattle's schedule. And a good portion, and the Broncos have a tendency to have big games at home early in the season. It doesn't matter who their quarterback is. Denver's in kind of that sweet spot in terms of time zone-wise. They're in that sweet spot in terms of being competitive. They've had the benefit of some positive, you know, some potentially good games playing at home early in the year for years upon years. But their schedule starts out at Seattle. Talent-wise, quarterback-wise, they should win that game. Against Houston, come on. Now, San Francisco, in the third game of the season, feels like it should be a great game. San Francisco's well coached. Look at where San Francisco went to in terms of in the playoffs. You know, San Francisco looks like they'll still have Deebo Samuel. You'll have Nick Bosa. I mean, they have George Kittle. The question with San Francisco is that looks like it'll be the third game of year two of a quarterback who you're not totally into. Then you go divisional, you take on the Raiders, who new coaching staff. The Raiders are trying. I love Davante Adams. I love, but recapturing the magic of last year, then to Indy at home with Matt Ryan, who's a great dome quarterback, but not so great in the open air. Chargers, that's a great game. Then Jets and Jacksonville. I mean, it does feel like talent-wise, and usually in the NFL, the talent's very similar. The quarterback pushes you over the top. It's a mismatch in about four of their first eight games, if not five. Broncos are going to get off to a good start. How they finish, I don't know, but you also don't know who's healthy late in the year. And oftentimes, how you start in football really determines your finish more than anything else. All right, coming up next. Some guys you can talk trash to, and they will wither. And then there's Luka. That's next in the Herd.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.